coming this summer.
They're finally going to make a movie about me!
The story of Batman's greatest ally.
That's me! That must be me!
And best friend in the whole world.
Finally!
Alfred, the movie.
It's time to clean up this city.
That actually does look pretty good.
I still see it.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse.
They're really making movies about every superhero.
Has there been a movie about you?
There was a Green Lantern movie, but we don't talk about that.
It's time they make one about me.
I'm afraid it's no. I only make movies about real superheroes.
Dreaming about being a big star.
Why don't they take us seriously?
Titans, you guys are never actually doing anything heroic.
What about that time we discovered that sweet diner and they had that food?
That wasn't even a crime and you didn't save anything.
We save room for design!
Oh, right in your face!
Thunder. Having a movie is the only way to be seen as a real hero.
What about an arch nemesis?
Right there. Deadpool?
Deadpool? What? Why does everybody think I'm Deadpool?
I thought Deadpool was a good guy.
By the way, he should be saying that he's not me. Okay, because I came out, like, way before he did.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you're Deadpool.
I am Slade.
If we can make him our arch nemesis, then they will see that we're worthy of a movie.
I'm not interested in fighting a bunch of sidekicks and a half a robot.
Oh, man, I'm never letting you fly my body again.
The whole world will be under my control.
Woo.
Destroy them.
How big is your army? 100,000.
Halt for the mighty Abby.
Watch me. Do this. It's always been more than a music. You got it weights on the back of my cruise ship. Look, watch me.
We're taking you down.
How are you gonna do it? What are you gonna do? Are you gonna fart on me? We wanna have a dance off? You gonna annoy me to death with your waffles?
Hello and welcome to The Complete Works, an in-depth look into the career and filmography of Nicolas Cage. My name is Mike Smith, and joining me on this journey into the depths of true cagedom is my friend, co-host, and fellow cageaholic,
Mike Tricia.
Yes, it is. I almost said your name by accident, and then I realized that you always say your name after I do that whole introduction. So, you know, we're only 86 episodes into the podcast or whatever. I should have figured that out by now.
We only have 5 more left. It's okay. You're still working it out.
Yeah, still working out the kick. Season 2 of the movie works. Going to be great. This entire 4-year period has just been one long dry run.
Yeah, these are actually all bonus preview episodes.
Exactly. Now, a little while back in this podcast, Mike, we discussed a documentary called The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, which is a movie about the production of a Superman movie that would have starred Nicolas Cage as Superman, but was shut down before filming actually began, so the world never got to see what that would be like, and the legend of that, what could have been, became one of the more famous Hollywood what-ifs in recent years, and we all assumed that we would never get the chance to see Nicolas Cage playing the Man of Steel ever again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a one.
He's past his prime.
He passed the, I wouldn't say he's past his prime, he's just entering his prime, Mike.
Okay, yeah, I said that way too flippantly.
We're entering the Cage-a-sons right now. We just found out about a movie where Nicolas Cage is going to be dealing with some Night at the Museum horrors in an amusement park or something like that, whatever's going on in there. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's well into the prime of his life right now, is what I'm
saying. As far as superhero Superman box office, you know, studio movie prime.
Sure, yeah. I mean, as far as live action Superman movies go, it would be weird if they suddenly cast Nicolas Cage as Superman now. I wouldn't be against it, but it would be it would be a little odd though, yes. But that's where this manic Cartoon Network TV show about teenage superheroes that love waffles come in. In 2018, the world was introduced to Teen Titans Go to the Movies, the big screen adaptation of Teen Titans Go, one of Cartoon Network's most popular hit shows right now. The show is known for its energetic, random humor and meta jokes about superheroes in the DC universe. There's actually one episode where they travel into the real world and meet their voice actors. I watched a clip of that online. It was pretty funny. There's another episode where they watch the entire series of the original Teen Titans show on DVD. Like just all amazing. That all that stuff. It's pretty great. And when it came time to make the movie version, they went pretty hard on the meta commentary aspect of the show, really giving the Deadpool movies a run for their money. In its lampooning of just the current state of the superhero movies and universe and things like that. And I think perhaps its greatest meta joke of all is that they actually cast Nicolas Cage as their movie's version of Superman.
The sons of bitches. They were so concerned about whether or not they could. They didn't stop and think whether or not they should.
You maniacs, you blew it up. Now, when I was a kid, Mike, I was obsessed with the original Teen Titans show. I'm not sure, were you a fan of the original Teen Titans?
Yeah, I think it hit like a little bit after me being like, oh, I'm going to watch Cartoon Network. You know, it hit that like sure. time where you're like, I'm too old for this.
Okay.
But it was definitely that thing where like I would secretly, if I scanned past Cartoon Network and saw his Teen Titans, I'd stop and watch an episode.
Yeah.
So I never gave it like the full run, but I did watch episodes of it.
Yeah, I mean, that original show, that definitely skewed a little bit older than most of Cartoon Network's other shows yeah. too, I think. Like that actually, that aired in the Toonami block alongside stuff like Dragon Ball Z and things like that.
Oh.
If you remember Toonami with the robot that introduced yeah. things. I don't remember. I don't know.
I think it's back now, right?
It might be. Or I think it did come back for a little while. I don't know. If, like, I haven't watched Cartoon Network in a long time. I couldn't tell you. Yeah. But I like that show a lot because, it sometimes was silly, like the new show is all the time. But the original show had this dramatic arcs and seasonal storylines and well-developed characters and all that stuff. Like, I remember being genuinely upset when that show ended because the finale left things on a really ambiguous note and I desperately wanted to know what happened next. But then nothing happened. And I was fine with it. You know, I moved on. And then years later, Cartoon Network began developing Teen Titans Go, which had the same voice cast as the original show, but a much more cartoony art style and definitely was aiming at younger kids than the original show was. So my first instinct was that this new one was like just not for me. I saw like commercials for it. I saw like ads for it online. And I was like, yeah, okay. Like it's obviously like it's fine that it is what it is, but it's not going to be my thing. I was fine with it just doing its own thing. Although there's plenty of people out there online who are still very mad about the existence of Teen Titans Go.
Well, as an 18 to 30 year old straight white man, everything must be made for me, Mike. So
you're one of those people, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yeah. By the way, what are your opinions on The Last Jedi? Just throw them out
there. I think Rian Johnson doesn't know what he's doing.
But anyway, through some random happenstance, I ended up seeing a few episodes of Teen Titans Go here and there, and I was surprised by like how funny it was. Like I actually ended up really enjoying the show. Haven't like been a diehard watcher or anything, but like if it's on TV, I'll watch it. It's actually pretty good. have you seen any of the episodes of the Teen Titans Go TV show, Mike?
Yes, by accident, because a bunch of my friends and I think we were at like a Beer Week event somewhere in Saratoga, maybe upstate, and we got back to the hotel room after being out, and we were like flipping through the TV channels, and all I saw was Teen Titans like come up.
Yeah,
I didn't read all the way through the title, and was like, "Yo, Teen Titans, let's watch this." And it was Teen Titans Go, and we were like, "I don't know." And then we were drunk and at like 2 a.m. watching Teen Titans Go, and like can confirm it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a blast. It's just this nonstop energy ball. Sometimes it's actually pretty clever in the way it upends superhero tropes and characters, and it's obviously doing something very different than what the original Teen Titans was doing. But it's doing what it is doing really, really well. So when I heard about the movie, I figured I might see it because I enjoyed the show at the time, like here and there. And then I heard they cast Nicolas Cage as Superman, and I was like, well, obviously I'm going to have to see this for the podcast, but I might actually just go out into theaters and see it. And that's exactly what I did. It was actually one of the last movies I saw in a theater before I moved out to Missoula, Montana. Wow. It was like this and then eighth grade and then I was out. Like that's basically,
Well, talk about a double feature.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't on the same day. Although I wish, because that actually, it could have been thematically appropriate. Maybe it was one of the shows that the main character in 8th grade used to like when she was a kid, but now that she's in 8th grade, she's growing up, who knows?
Exactly.
Anyway, really, Cage's role in this movie is more of a cameo. He's there throughout the movie. He has, like, lines here and there. But, you know, it's a bit part. He probably did all of his stuff in, like, a day, you know?
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Right. But the main stars of the movie are the voice cast from the show. Scott Melville as Robin, Greg Sipes as Beast Boy, Tara Strong as Raven, Hinden Walsh as Starfire, and Kari Payton as Cyborg. The movie centers on them as Robin tries desperately to get a movie made about him so he can join the superhero big leagues. And the villain, Slade, is voiced by Will Arnett, who also appeared with Nicolas Cage in G-Force back in the day, Mike.
Wow, look at that.
Remember that movie? That talking gerbil movie that Nicolas Cage was in?
I would have never expected a the Cage reunion with G-Force.
No, you wouldn't think so. And the director of the fictional Robin movie, Jade Wilson, is actually voiced by Kristen Bell, who also appeared in Nicolas Cage in Astro Boy, Mike.
Whoa.
Yeah, a couple of Cage kid movie reunions going on here in Teen Titans Go to the Movies. And then from there, the movie is pretty much just wall-to-wall cameos. I don't know if you looked at the list of people that are in this movie, Mike, before you got on the podcast.
No, not really. I paid attention to some of the credits, but not all of them.
Okay, get ready to have some of your minds blown here. The entire Justice League is represented here, with Cage as Superman, obviously. Jimmy Kimmel plays Batman in this movie.
Batman doesn't have any lines, though.
He has a couple lines. He's there. Okay. There's a Batman vs. Superman parody that they do
later on in
the movie. Halsey, the singer, plays Wonder Woman.
Nice.
Lil Yachty plays Green Lantern, and actually does the remix of the Teen Titans Go theme song at the end, over the end credits.
Nice.
And Will Wheaton plays the Flash in the movie.
I think
he has like one line in the movie, but it is Will Wheaton. Patton Oswalt's in this movie as the Atom, while his wife Meredith Salinger voices Supergirl, who I think also has only one line. Greg Davies from the British series The Inbetweeners voices Balloon Man at the beginning. Stan Lee gets to make a cameo as himself in the movie, and his only cameo ever in a DC comic movie actually is in this movie.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool. And then Michael Bolton voices the Tiger. That,
I thought that was him.
Yeah, that sings the upbeat inspirational song about life. And finally, Nicolas Cage's son Kal-El Cage, named after Superman himself, gets a quick cameo as young Bruce Wayne during the time travel sequence.
Wow.
So there is that too. Teen Titans Go to the Movies was directed by Peter Ryder McHale and Aaron Horvath, and written by Horvath and Michael Jelenic, all of whom worked together on the Teen Titans Go TV series. The movie underperformed at the box office when it came out, but it did still do more than its budget. On a budget of $10 million, the movie pulled in about $52 million. So, you know, pretty solid enough. Like, it made five times what its budget was. But I remember when it came out, it opened at like number five or whatever, and never really got any higher than that. But Teen Titans Go to the Movies was released on July 27th, 2018. And if you weren't seeing it, then you were likely seeing the only other major release that weekend and one of our favorite movies of last year. Mike, do you remember what the movie was?
Don't put that on. Eighth grade.
It was not eighth grade, no. It's
no,
a big,
I don't
big
know.
Blockbuster action movie.
Mission Impossible.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, got
there it.
There it
is. Mission Impossible Fallout was the other movie that came out on the same day as Teen Titans Go to the Movies. That's a double feature right there. That's what you
Hell yes.
And the IMDb plot synopsis for Teen Titans Go to the Movies reads, a villain's maniacal plan for world domination sidetracks five teenage superheroes who dream of Hollywood stardom. So, Mike, you're basically familiar with Teen Titans Go, the TV show. You're also basically familiar with the TV series from back in the day. What were your thoughts on Teen Titans Go to the Movies?
Teen Titans Go to the Movies is just like, it's a fun little romp, man. I had a blast with this movie. I don't think it even breaks 90 minutes, right? I'm not really sure.
I believe it's about 85 minutes, yeah.
Perfect. Like, that's chef's kiss.
It's the chopping mall cut.
Yeah, exactly. If we can shave out 10 more minutes, it's the chopping mall cut. Yeah, but it's just fun. It's just like a little goof, you know? I think this is one of the best voice casts assembled in recent times, I think, for the main cast of Teen Titans. And I didn't know it was the same cast, because I was thinking about Beast Boy, right? Is his name?
Yes, Beast Boy.
I was like, this guy sounds a lot like he did in the other one that I remember him sounding like
right.
in the original one, but I didn't really know or care to look up that information.
Yeah, no, they're all the same, which is cool because Cartoon Network has rebooted some of their other shows, like Powerpuff Girls, for example, but they replaced the voice actors in the new versions and stuff like
right.
that.
Right. And I think that was Tara Strong, too, was one of them.
That was Tara Strong, yeah. Actually, I saw Tara Strong at a Comic-Con panel in New York a couple of years ago, and I think that was around that time the Powerpuff Girls show was starting, and she was like really... like. She wasn't, like, upset about it, but she made a couple of snide comments about the fact that they were being replaced and that kind of thing. Like, it didn't seem like she was super happy about it.
Yeah. I think she's also, more known for people around our age for being Harley Quinn in the Batman animated series, right?
Yeah, she's Harley Quinn. Not in the original animated series, and that's Arlene Sorkin. But she does voice Harley Quinn in a lot of stuff, including, I think, the... Batman Arkham games, or at least some of
yes,
the Arkham
yeah,
games.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
But of course, she was Timmy Turner on Fairly Odd Parents, and she was Bubbles and Powerpuff Girls and things like that. So, you know, she's pretty well known. And I think she has a more recent fan base because of My Little Pony. I think she's one of the characters in the show, too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But back to Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Yep.
And this is just, it's got all the sweet spot stuff that I love. It's superhero things. It's goofy. It's meta. It's a lot of fun. There's musical breaks. Like, what more do you need in a tight little 85-minute like goof, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I really like this movie. I also think it's a blast. I enjoyed it the first time I saw it when it was in theaters, but I feel like I enjoyed it a lot more the second time around for some reason. I don't know. I feel like, you know, like maybe it's because that day, it was like a long day. I was doing a lot of different things. Like, I was in the process of moving to Missoula, and so I was like trying to get in as much FaceTime with different friends as possible and things like that. So here I got to actually just kind of relax and enjoy the movie.
You got snowed in. You just watched a movie.
Pretty much. Yeah, it is. It's snowed here in Missoula. It's October. And it's and it snowed here in Missoula. It is. It's pretty rough out here. But anyway, I feel like I enjoyed this movie a lot more the second time around. It is just wall-to-wall jokes, nonstop energy. And that can get a little tiresome after a while. But I think the fact that the movie is only 85 minutes, it never overstates its welcome. Like, it's always moving on to the next gag. If one gag doesn't work, the next gag will, type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's really great on that front. It kind of feels out of piece, actually, with the Lego Batman movie.
100%.
Which came out a year earlier than this, in just the way it subverts the whole DC universe. But it goes, I think this one goes a lot further than that movie does. Like, that movie does a lot to subvert a lot of the different Batman tropes and things like that. But that one's telling, I think, a genuine Batman story at the same time, whereas this is just pure fucking Looney Tunes nonsense.
literally starts with Daffy Duck coming through the Warner Brothers logo.
The Warner Brothers animation logo with Daffy Duck coming through, yeah. And then actually they intro where they're flipping through the comic panels and it looks like the Marvel Studios logo for a second.
Yeah.
It's great. But yeah, so it goes a lot further than that movie does. Like, it's hard to believe that the studio that produced Batman vs. Superman just 2 years earlier also produced this movie, you know?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's crazy.
And honestly, with Will Arnett as Slade, that's why I thought that I totally just blanked out Batman having lines. I thought that was a joke that Batman doesn't talk because his voice actor is Slade.
Yeah, it is a little weird that they got the guy who played Lego Batman in this movie, but he's not playing Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bizarre. I am not sure, though, how this movie would play to somebody who is just completely unfamiliar with the Teen Titans as, like, a concept.
Oh, my God.
Like, I think it would just be complete nonsense to them.
Yeah.
Like, if they had never heard of the comic or either of the TV shows, I think you need, like, at least a vague awareness of who the Teen Titans are to enjoy this movie. Because they don't stop to explain who any of these characters are, what their powers are, and that kind of thing. They just are. I mean, they kind of do in the opening rap song, but it's
in,
like,
the song,
but that's, like, a rap song, and it's just, like, this weird, crazy thing. So, you know, it's just a weird... So I would say, if you're going to watch this movie, and you should, because I think it's a very funny skewering of the whole superhero movie landscape, know who the Teen Titans are going into the movie. It's basically what I would say. Or watch, like, one or two episodes of the show.
Yeah. Just Google who they are, and then you're fine.
Like, yeah, you probably are. And, I mean, you'll at least know Robin, because he's, you know, Robin.
Yeah. Cyborg's in Justice League.
Sure, that's true. And there's actually, I always forget about this. There was, like, a live action Teen Titans show on, like, the DC universe streaming thing.
Oh yeah. It's like airing when now. Robin says fuck.
Right. When Robin says fuck, that's the dark and gritty Teen Titans. Like, yeah. And that, I think that show premiered the same year that this movie came out. And it's like the vast, like, how do these two things exist at the same time?
It's like what this Teen Titans Go to the Movies is making fun of.
Right. Exactly. But all right, so Nicolas Cage is in this movie, playing Superman. So what did you think of Nicolas Cage as Superman now that you've finally seen him play the Man of Steel on the big screen?
I mean, it was pretty cool. It was like a fun thing. It was like, he's doing the thing. Like, he did it.
Yes.
That was like kind of my reaction. He's got, like, you know, he's in a couple minutes, maybe. That'd be generous to say he's in a couple minutes. But yeah, it was awesome. It was like, he got to do that. He did it. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a kind of like the fact that it is Nicolas Cage is partly the joke itself.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just a meta joke about the time he almost played Superman, which is funny on its own. But then they got him to do have some pretty funny moments. I think just the way he calls Teen Titans goofsters is pretty entertaining. And if you've ever wanted to hear Nicolas Cage say the words explosive diarrhea...
We got it covered.
This is the movie for you. It's great. And I think his Superman here, like, it's tough to judge what his, like, portrayal of Superman is, quote unquote, because again, he's only in it for a couple minutes, and it's just, you know, I'm sure he was only in the voice booth for a day, maybe like an hour. But his Superman is mostly just his normal voice. But there's, like, a certain, I feel like he has, there's, like, a nobility to it in the way he talks in the movie. Like, he's sort of doing this otherworldly thing where it's just, like, he's a little bit better than you are, which is pretty perfect for this movie's take on Superman. Like, one of my favorite lines in the movie is when he's asking, like, the Teen Titans are trying to get through Superman to the Doomsday Device, and he's like, what are you going to do? I mean, and he, like, kind of motions to himself, like, come on. Like, I'm Superman, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate that about it, and it's just, you know, it made me wistful for the movie that could have been, you know, with Superman Lives. Like, what could have been, you know?
Yeah. We'll never know.
We'll never know. It's a shame. I mean, well,
unless he gets cast in the Arrowverse thing, right? Isn't that a rumor?
That will never happen. But I wish. Like, that would be incredible. Because I will be watching that. The Arrowverse, you know, the Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and now Batwoman are all doing this huge 5-part crossover. It's an adaptation of the most famous DC Comics storyline of all time, Crisis on Infinite Earths. And they're bringing in several different actors from all these different things to come be a part of it. Like Kevin Conroy, who's the voice of Batman on the animated series and in so many things. He's playing like a live action Bruce Wayne in the new thing. And they're bringing in Brandon Routh, who's on Legends of Tomorrow. They're having him play Superman because he played Superman in Superman Returns and that kind of thing. I think they're bringing in...
the guy from Smallville, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're bringing in Tom Welling from Smallville. Superman too, which is nuts. I think they're also bringing in the guy who played Lex Luthor on that show too.
Yeah.
So, and a couple other things. Actually, there's a great Smallville reference in Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I don't know if you caught that.
I don't think so.
It's in Nicolas Cage's first scene when the Justice League shows up and defeats Balloon Man while the Teen Titans are busy rapping.
Problem is, you guys are never actually doing anything heroic.
Man, please, that ain't true. What about that time we discovered that sweet diner? And they had that food?
Oh, yes. It was most delicious.
That wasn't even a crime, and you didn't save anything.
This guy thinks we didn't save anything.
We saved room for design!
Titans, if you keep playing the fool, you'll never be seen as real heroes, only as jokes.
Got him!
Somebody save me. Anyway, we gotta get going. Ta-ta!
He says, somebody save me. Which was the theme song to Smallville. Somebody save me.
You know, that wow. There's a lot of deep cuts in this movie.
There is. And what I really appreciated about it, watching it again this time, is that even just the background of the movie, just like in the town that they're in, Jump City, I think it's called, mm-hmm. like every building is like a DC Comics reference, if you like look at it. There's like the Rorschach. Was like one of them, and or like there was like an Ace Chemicals building in the background. It's like there's so much stuff all around, yeah. Which was cool.
And I think when they go to the movie premiere, and they're showing the previews and stuff, and it's Batman, I think the utility belt movie.
Right.
Is that a clip from the animated series? Because that's one of the things this movie does a lot, changes animation style, which is pretty fun. But I was like, I wonder if this is from the animated series.
It definitely looked like it was meant to evoke the animated series. I'm sure it was like newly animated for the thing.
Yeah.
But that is one of my favorite gags in the movie too, when they go in there and they're like, oh, they're at the Batman premiere and they're going to see like next summer, and the big announcement, like they're thinking it's a Robin movie and it turns out to be an Alfred movie. It's like Alfred the movie coming, broom, like he's gonna clean up crime and that kind of thing. I think the best part about that is like there is an Alfred TV show on TV right now.
What?
There's a show called Pennyworth, and it's airing on like Epics or something.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it premiered like a few months after this movie came out, I think. Which is like this movie was so prescient, or I mean, obviously maybe they knew the show was already in development or something, and so they were able to take a crack at it. But it's like, it's nuts that like Warner Brothers is like, yeah, make fun of our shit, whatever. Like,
go ahead,
it's fine. But yeah, so I think the fact that they joke about the Alfred movie existing, and then like an Alfred TV show exists like a few months later, it's like, that's so weird.
Bizarre.
But yeah, then the whole joke kind of continues where they're doing Batmobile the movie and Utility Belt the movie, and it's pretty great. But getting back to Cage, how do you think this fits into the movies that we've seen Nicolas Cage in so far, Mike?
You know, it's really hard to say about a cameo performance.
True, that's true.
Like that. It's another family animated movie, so it's, you know, this is another episode of Croods Cast.
Welcome to Croods Cast, baby. According to Wikipedia, Croods 2 coming in 2020.
That's right.
Just so you know, that's thrown out.
Stay vigilant.
Yes.
But yeah, nothing really like jumped out at me because he's in so little of the movie. But what did you get, Mike?
I would agree it's another animated movie. So Christmas Carol the movie, The Ant Bully, Astro Boy, The Croods, G-Force if you want to count it.
I mean, technically, yes.
He's an animated
character. It's a voice role.
Yeah, it's a voice role in a live-action movie, technically. But obviously, the Superman connection is the big deal here. And if you want to learn more about Nicolas Cage as Superman, The Death Superman Lives, What Happened, is a very good documentary, and it's on YouTube right now. And it fits in with, like, you know, Ghost Rider and Kick-Ass are also superhero things that Cage has done in the past. And I also think it actually kind of fits in with Kick-Ass, even though Kick-Ass is a much more R-rated movie than Teen Titans Go to the Movies is. But both movies are like this really irreverent and immature take on superhero movies and the whole superhero culture at the time of their release. Like, I think Kick-Ass being released in 2010 and Teen Titans Go to the Movies in 2018, there's like the superhero landscape changed so much in that 8 years. So the targets are a lot different in both of those movies, but I think they're both worth checking out if you're into just like the lampooning of superhero culture.
Yeah. Hashtag analysis.
Yeah, there you go. And as far as Nicolas Cage making cameo appearances in movies, I think this might be my favorite, with the possible exception of Never on Tuesday. Just wanted to throw that out there because, I mean, that's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there was I won't lie, there was a person that was on my long list for season two, but technically also made a cameo in Never on Tuesday, so I was like, I guess not.
Was that Cary Elwes?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. For those who aren't aware, we are almost at the end of this podcast. So we're close. We're trying to figure out, we're brainstorming names for season two, and we're each doing, we're each creating a shortlist of five names, not telling the other one who was on our shortlist. And then at the end of this whole thing, we're going to do like this massive episode where we figure out who season two will be about. But one of our criteria is that they can't have been in a movie with Nicolas Cage, which does make things harder.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's in so many movies.
He's in so many movies with so many actors.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to find out that, like, the person we picked was, like, a background player in Tempo de Ujedere or something.
like, Nick Offerman, off the list. He was in City of Angels.
Right.
That one scene. That's it.
I'm not sure what the film career of Nick Offerman might offer for a complete list.
I don't know either. But
yeah, no, you're right. All right, so Teen Titans Go to the Movies, Mike. What are the moments or scenes in this movie that stood out to you?
I mean, just every rap song is so good. Every song is so good in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that this movie's a musical. I know the TV show has a lot of like musical numbers and stuff like that too. I'm not sure how often, because it is like an 11-minute show. you know, like a typical like kids animated TV show.
Yeah.
It's like the 22-minute episodes, but they're like 11-minute like segments kind of thing usually. But yeah, this movie really goes all out with musical numbers. And the Teen Titans rap at the beginning and the end, which is like the reprise of it. It's super funny when you see it the first time, and the second time it's funny, but also like triumphant, like, cause it's like the end of the movie and it's like they're taking down Slade and it's great, and all the lessons they've learned and stuff. It's just great. But yeah, the whole Teen Titans rap is a blast. And then, I mean, my favorite song keeps changing. Like, when I first saw the movie, the rap was like my favorite song.
Right.
And then, like, I think when I was creating our top 10 list for last year, our podcast episode, I was listening to some of my favorite music from movies from the year that had passed, because I was like, you know, kind of putting in like different songs in that episode. And then suddenly I kind of settled on like upbeat inspirational song about life being my favorite one, which is great. And now I'm thinking my superhero movie is my favorite song.
That's so good.
In the whole thing. They're all great. They're all really great.
Sidekicks are lame. Now I'm the superhero putting villains to shame. R-O-B-I-N is the name. Ooh, and I'd have my own hero music too. It'd go bum 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 boom. It would play every time that I entered a room. Then I'd say my sweet and ominous catchphrase. Crack an egg on it. Cuckoo! It's my movie, my superhero movie. It's all about me, yeah, it's all about me. It's my movie, my superhero movie. Yeah, it's all about me.
I really liked the upbeat inspirational song. It's like, especially that it's Michael Bolton.
Yeah, it's Michael Bolton just playing this tiger on the rainbows going through space. It's the most insane thing. And there's like a unicorn and the dolphin playing the drums. It's fucking wild, man. It's fucking wild. And then the beat at the end of that song where they run over the tiger. And you know, it says the tiger playing Michael Bolton, like, lying dead in the street, and they kind of get out of the car and they kind of look at him for a second, and Cyborg shouts, "I think his dad is a cop! Run!"
This movie's dark sometimes.
It goes really dark, which I love about this. There's that joke, and then there's the one joke during the whole time travel sequence Which I think I told you about, like...
I feel like I remember you mentioning
back in the day. But there's the whole time travel sequence, I think, is incredible. They get on these, like, time cycles, which are powered by the power of Radness. So they have to do these awesome, like, tricks and stuff to get up to 88 miles per hour or whatever. The Back to the Future music is playing and stuff like that. They make a joke about, like, where are we going to find Libyan terrorists to sell us plutonium at this time of day? Or something like that. And then they go back in time, because the idea is, they get the idea to get rid of every other superhero, so that they'll be the only superheroes left, so they'll have to make a movie about the Teen Titans, right?
Flawless.
So they go back in time, and they stop all these superhero origin stories from happening. But they save Krypton with the power of dubstep, which was awesome. And just the sight of, like, young baby Superman dancing with his diaper off is just insanity. also, I really love that the guy playing Jor-El, I'm not sure who voices him in this movie, but the guy playing Jor-El is doing, like, a Marlon Brando impression.
Yeah.
Which is also pretty great. But they, like, save Krypton, and they go save Batman's parents from the alley, which also has one of my favorite lines in the movie. It's like, what are you doing? That is Crime Alley, you dum-dums. And it cuts over, and it's just like this like thing where it's like a silhouetted, like, evil criminals with, like, hats and guns shooting into the air. It's great. And they go back and stop Wonder Woman, and they just, like, steal her lasso and, like, bully her away from being Wonder Woman. Where they toss, like, a piece of plastic into the ocean, they, like, basically choke Aquaman to death.
Yeah, they throw, like, a six-pack holder on him. Yeah.
It's incredible. Dark. But then when they go back to the future after they've done all that and all the superheroes are gone, basically what they discover is that the entire landscape is, like, demolished, and, like, there's no, like, the villains have taken over the world, essentially. Everything's on fire because there's no superheroes to stop them. One of my favorite lines in the movie also is Robin saying, you know, so this means there's no superhero movies? And Raven's like, no movies, only suffering. Which was, like, if there was, like, a literal definition of my hell, that would be the...
it'd be no movies, that, yeah.
No movies, only suffering. So then they go back in time again and redo all the superhero origins.
Right.
So they end up destroying Krypton, then Superman gets sent off into space, and they, you know, give Wonder Woman her lasso back, and they unchoke Aquaman, but they push Bruce Wayne's parents into the alley.
Yeah.
Where they die, and it's like Raven even gives the mom, like, the pearl necklace, like, right before they go in. Like, and they're, like, there, like, you see young Bruce Wayne right there, and they just, like, push, and they're in the alley, and it's like, all right, goodbye, and they leave him. It's great. It's so good.
Did Avengers Endgame steal this from Teen Titans Go to the Movies?
Maybe. It's possible.
My God.
Yeah, that's what it is. Teen Titans Go to the Movies got there first. But yeah, other stuff throughout the movie. I really like the recurring gag about how they always forget that Raven can just use her portals for, like, any situation.
Yes.
Which was pretty funny. Like, every time they got, like, you know, kicked out of the premiere or whatever, they were like, oh, I can just use a portal. I was like, oh yeah, I always forget the Nexus. And then everything with the Challengers of the Unknown getting into the portal was also pretty great.
Perfect.
So good.
It's got Unknown right in the name. they're on the list somehow.
They're on the list, yeah. what'd you think of Slade in the movie and the reveal that the very obvious reveal that Slade is Jade Wilson, which, if you, like, if you're familiar with comics, like, Slade, his last name is Wilson.
Oh my God, so I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, Slade Wilson, by the way, is Deathstroke, like the comic.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's Deathstroke, and his real name is Slade Wilson. In the Teen Titans show, they only call him Slade because I think the idea is that the character name with the word death in the name was, like, too dark for kids to deal with or something.
Yeah.
That said, there's a joke about them pushing Bruce Wayne's parents into the alley, so who knows what the deal is there.
I didn't know that, but I think it makes Deadpool's name being Wade Wilson even funnier retrospect.
Because he's kind of like a parody of Slade Wilson in the comics originally.
Yeah. And I love that they bring that up. They're like, oh, you're Deadpool. Yeah. Like, say something in reference to the camera. I mean, it was fun. It's Will Arnett. He's an incredible voice actor. He's so much fun. And he's hamming it up as a villain this time instead of being... you know, heavy metal Batman, Lego Batman.
That's
just great.
Yeah, I really love, like, the recurring bit with his mind manipulation powers, which are just, like, just really dumb. Like, he's trying to, like, move a pencil to, like, make it look like it's, like, rubber or whatever. Yeah. And the Teen Titans are like, oh my God, how is he doing that?
he takes his thumb off and puts it back on. Yeah. They're, like, rolling on the floor.
But they can't comprehend this level of sorcery. And I think it's just, ultimately, like, it's just like, hey, look over there. There's something over there, guys. And they're, like, desperately trying not to look over there. We kind of briefly mentioned the Batman vs. Superman parody that happens in the movie, too. But we should just say that's also great. That's with Nicolas Cage as Superman, Jimmy Kimmel as Batman.
What's your mother's name?
Martha.
My mommy's name is Martha, too. Wait, what's your father's name?
Jonathan?
Mine's Thomas!
Cut! Clark! Bruce, that was amazing! Oh, am I not supposed to use your real names? Relax, it's not a big deal. Everybody knows.
Just really like, again, that movie came out like 2 years before this movie did. Same company, it's all WB. But yeah, it's kind of nuts. So that was pretty great. I really enjoyed that. And then, I mean, the Stan Lee cameo also kind of wanted to really mention that, which I think is like a top five Stan Lee cameo in like any movie.
Oh, it has to be.
It's so good. I love, before he even starts talking, he's in the background of the shot and you can see him looking around the characters, trying to look directly into the camera.
Yeah.
And as soon as they go off screen, he like jumps up and is like, "Hey everybody, it's Stan Lee. It's my super subtle secret cameo."
Yep.
So yeah, that's pretty great. And then he pops up at the end of the movie again. He's like, "I don't care. This is a DC movie. I just love cameos."
Yeah.
Then they run him off the road. It's great.
Yeah, I love that whole sequence at the towards the end of the climax, like after Slade enacts the Doomsday thing, and they're being chased by all the heroes, and it's like they're in the golf cart being chased through the WB lot. And the recurring bit where they keep destroying Batman's car or vehicle, but he has another one. Right, so it eventually ends with him riding on Alfred's back.
Yes, yeah, so like the Batmobile blows up and he's like on a bat cycle and that blows up. And then he's on a bat scooter and then that like blows up and he's on bat like roller skates.
Yeah.
And then he's just riding on Alfred's back. It's great.
It's all good. This movie's just good.
It's just a delight, man. It's just so much fun. I did want to highlight the superhero movie song once again. Because I think that's like where the movie kind of goes like craziest with its animation style. Like it kind of does like, a whole different style of animation and stuff like that. And it's also, I think, just the funnest song. And it has my favorite, I think this is my favorite line. I've said a few times, like, this is my favorite line of the movie. I think this is my favorite line of the movie where Robin's like, "And I'll say my super sweet hero catchphrase." And he walks into the room and he like is holding a guy up and he's like, "Crack an egg on it. Caw-caw!"
And then he beats the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, it's so great. Yeah, that's great. I love the bit where all the Titans keep pooping in the fake toilet on set.
I love the way this movie can go from like intense meta like superhero Hollywood commentary to poop jokes in one scene. It's so perfect.
And it's like, I think it's like one of the best poop jokes I've seen in a long time. And I know my poop jokes, you know, like,
yeah,
I've been around and, it's a really solid poop joke they got going on there. Solid poop is not meant to be a pun, but now it is.
I really thought it was also going to lead into a Raven Portal poop joke, but I don't think it did, right?
No, it did not end with a Raven Portal thing. Although it could have, I guess, because they forgot about it because that's what they do. There's also a bit in the movie where, they try to distract Superman because he's like guarding the craft service table. And so there's like, they like Cyborg and Beast Boy like crank call him and they pretend to be Lois Lane. And they're like, "Oh no, Gene Hackman's real estate plan. You got to save me."
Which I didn't get, which is amazing.
That's from the original Superman movie. That's because Gene Hackman played Lex Luthor and like his entire plan was just to like, I think get California like detached from the rest of the U.S. so that that's the real estate value would go up because it's more like, or whatever. It's like it's an insane thing because it's like Luthor. So that was pretty great. And then them fighting Superman and like Superman being like, "What are you gonna do about it?" And they're like, "Kryptonite party!" And they start like raining kryptonite. They're making it rain kryptonite on Superman. It was pretty great. And just like Superman like lying like dying on the ground with cage and everything, it was great. But yeah, also, I do want to say, like, you know, this movie is pretty much nonstop jokes. There is a really nice moment, I think, when Raven saves Beast Boy, like, during their whole fight with Slade, when they're, like, chasing him down, like, in the midway point of the movie, where they're, like, flying through the air, and Beast Boy and Cyborg, like, go flying, and Raven and Starfire go save them. And Raven saves Beast Boy, and it's like, "Raven, you saved me!" And that probably means more to, like, diehard fans of the show, I think. But I feel like I vaguely remember like something between Raven and Beast Boy in the original series. Like that seems like a thing that might have happened at some point. But the original series definitely had like an implied thing between Robin and Starfire. in that show. And I think that gives the moment where he abandons the team a little bit of extra weight, because Starfire is the one who sticks around the longest and says goodbye to him at the last moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice. I also really love they have flashbacks to what their horrible lives will be like when the Teen Titans aren't around anymore, and Cyborg's just, I'm gonna be a professional football player.
Yeah.
And that doesn't sound that bad. There's concussions, there's these things.
Going broke. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Other stuff throughout the movie, at this point we're just kind of rambling about our favorite jokes in the movie.
Tell me more, Mike.
Yeah. I really like the recurring bit where they said they had to keep saying the word Slade dramatically. And they got Cage to do it, so that was good. He had Cage going, Slade.
Yeah. I really liked that was the whole thing is you're not a hero, so you have an arch nemesis with a name you can say dramatically. And then they just list off famous villains.
Lex Luthor, and Green Lantern has Sinestro.
Yeah.
Also, I think the Green Lantern movie joke in this movie is funnier than any Green Lantern joke in the Deadpool movie.
Oh, 100%.
It's always been my dream to have my own movie.
Well, it is important to have dreams, I guess.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, they only make movies about real heroes.
I am a real hero. I even have my own superhero team.
You guys are goofsters.
You know, with the farts.
Always cracking your jokes.
You mean people think we're jokes?
Why do you think there's never been a movie made about you?
Well, has there been a movie about you?
So many, and more to come.
It took a while, but yeah, I have my own now.
There was a Green Lantern movie, but we don't talk about that.
That's all you need to do. You don't need to shoot yourself in the head.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, also, again, I just really loved at the very end of the movie, after everything's saved, and the movie's wrapping up, even the characters in the movie are let's wrap this up, and all the superheroes are chanting credits, credits.
Yeah.
Credits. Which is basically I feel like that's about where I was at in the movie. I was this is 85 minutes, perfect runtime, let's wrap this up, credits.
Yeah, I do like that. And then Robin keeps trying to interrupt the credits. He interrupts the credits at least once to continue his speech.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty great. And then just kind of shouts kids, ask your parents where babies come from. And smash cuts the credits. Which I imagine might have actually worked. We'll see.
Who knows?
Also, did you stick around for the post-credits scene in the movie, Mike?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so yeah, that teased the return of the original Teen Titans, where they're I think we found a way back, which I remember seeing in the theater and being whoa, that's pretty wild. And then I think they actually came back this past year. They did a direct DVD movie with Teen Titans Go meeting the original Teen Titans as a multiverse crossover type thing. So I don't know what the plans are with the original team after, if there are plans after this, but that's something they did this past year. And then at the very, very end of the credits, there's another Challengers of the Unknown gag, which them still in the stuck in the portal, which was pretty good too. But yeah, otherwise, any other stuff in the movie that you wanted to throw out there, Mike? Any other last bits of? I feel like we haven't talked that much about Cage, but he really isn't in that much of the movie, so it's tough to.
Yeah, I mean, he's barely in it. But yeah, no, I think we covered all the really funny parts. This movie's worth it. Worth the 85 minutes. If you're stuck on a cold day, on a cold rainy Sunday or something, get under the blanket, watch a goofy kid movie.
Yeah,
worth it.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's one of those movies I feel like a lot of people would have avoided in theaters because I think it's too kiddie or whatever, but it actually is really clever and very, very funny. And if you're into superheroes, I think you'll enjoy Teen Titans Go to the Movies. All right, then. Let's move on to some Letterboxd reviews, Mike.
Yes.
Got a few things here. It's a 4-star review of Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and most of these are pretty short ones, except for one kind of long one towards the end. So here we go. 4-star review, which reads, I'm just a little disappointed that what we watch is clearly not the director's true vision, # release a Snyder Cut.
Wow, incredible.
It's pretty good. Here's a 3.5-star review, which reads, so meta and self-aware and full of kiddie humor that they could have called it dead poop. And then it adds, Beast Boy would like that joke. Here's a 4-star review, which reads, gotta love a Teen Titans movie where they straight up murder Aquaman twice.
Oh yeah, when they pop the kiddie pool he's sitting in.
Yeah, and he kind of flaps around like a fish.
Yeah,
it's pretty great. Here's a 3-star review, which reads, man, this is a bad publicity for that DC Universe streaming service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that Titan show, that's where that is. Although that service, I don't think is going to exist much longer. I think it's being folded into HBO Max Warner Brothers is like kind of which Warner Brothers owns. So however that's going to work, who knows? The Titans then still continue.
But
over there.
But the Doomsday device is a streaming device, quote unquote.
Oh,
in this
yeah,
movie.
That's true.
I forgot that's like what kills everybody.
You're right. Yes, forgot about that. All right, here's a 4-star review, which reads: if upbeat inspirational song about life doesn't get an Academy Award nomination for Best Original Song, the Oscars are canceled. and finally, got one more. This is a 5-star review. This is a longer one, which reads: move over, Citizen Kane. I have found the greatest movie of all time. Teen Titans Go to the Movies is 84 minutes of cinematic perfection. A feature film adaptation of the best show on Cartoon Network, which I am proud to say I've seen every episode of. This is the closest the human race will ever get to achieving enlightenment. Every joke, musical number, and comic book reference is masterfully executed, leaving the viewer in awe of how it has taken this long for us to reach this point. This absolute triumph of a motion picture needs to be seen to be believed. The only flaw that can be identified here is the lack of the original Teen Titans theme song, but they have a pretty kick-ass instrumental version in the beginning, so that makes up for it. And who knew the Titans could rap? I mean, holy shit, I had a spiritual awakening when that happened. As for the after-credit scene, I knew what it was going to be, and I still shed tears. That's the power of cinema right there. I implore every one of you to see this a dozen times, because it's great. Oh, and if we can get the original Titans back while we're at it, that's great too. With that, I am very proud to announce that this is now a Teen Titans Go Stan account. Also, Nick Cage named his son Kal-El. Absolute madman, national treasure indeed. Which, by the way, there is a meta joke about national treasure in the movie, too.
Did you? Oh, yeah.
When the Titans beat up Superman with the Kryptonite, Robin comes in and is like, "You beat up Superman? He's a national treasure."
Yeah.
So there was that as well. All right, Mike, final thoughts on Teen Titans Go to the Movies. It's a blast. It's a good time.
Yeah, I guess we have no choice but to stand Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, this podcast has ceased to be a Nicolas Cage podcast. And from this point forward, it will just review every episode of Teen Titans Go. From the beginning. Let's do this, Mike.
Here we go.
All right. No, actually, we're going to be doing only a couple more Nicolas Cage movies, and then we're going to wrap this podcast up and get on to the next actor, whoever that may be, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, that was Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Where can we find you online this week?
You can find me at MDFilmBlog on Twitter and Letterboxd.
And you can find me at MSmithFilmBlog on Twitter and all our podcasts and stuff over at Rapture Press. And I also may be doing another podcast in the near future. Yeah, not with you, Mike. I'm sorry.
Is that in the bylaws? So you're allowed to do that?
I don't think I signed a non-compete contract.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Time will tell.
But anyway, if you want to follow Punkcast Pod on Twitter for any updates on that, that'll be me and my friend LP talking about different alternative and punk music and things like that. So we'll
see. Nice.
Yeah. So that's the plan. We're trying to launch that in January, but we're kind of putting out some bonus episodes in the meantime before that. So we'll see what happens there. A lot has changed while you were gone for the week, Mike.
I was gone 1 week. I missed one episode.
One episode, and Mike Go to the Movies, yeah.
And I guess I've been replaced. That's fine.
Well, you're still here for at least the next couple of Nicolas Cage movies, so that's good.
You got like 5 or 6 more, don't worry.
After that, you're out on your ass. I can't.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, thank you for listening to Complete Works. I'm Mike Smith, that's Mike DiCriscio. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app. And if you want to contact us, hit us up at the Complete Works, Nicolas Cage Complete Works @gmail.com. And you can find the rest of our podcast on Rapture Press alongside the Review Zoo, a podcast about comic books and movie news and all that nerdy stuff. Our next episode of The Complete Works will see Nicolas Cage in his big 2018 comeback. Mike, we are finally going to talk Panos Cosmatos' Mandy.
Buck, yes.
Yes, I've been very excited to talk about this one for a while. Saw this at the Montana Film Festival last year here at the Roxy Theater in my house in Missoula, Montana. I can't wait to finally... I actually have not rewatched it since, but I own it on Blu-ray. So I'm excited to rewatch it and get into that for this next episode. Plus, keep an eye out for the next Mike Might Go to the Movies, where we will be discussing the fourth time they've tried to make a Terminator 3. Terminator Dark Fate is coming out in theaters this weekend. I've actually heard it's not bad.
Yeah.
Question
same.
Mark? So maybe friend of the show Tim Miller might have pulled this thing off. We'll
see.
We'll see what happens. But I'm really curious to see what the movie's going to be like. I'm probably going to try to rewatch Terminator 1 and 2 before I go see Dark Fate this weekend. You do not have to rewatch 3, 4, and 5 because this movie ignores all of them. Just like 5 ignored 3 and 4, and 4 ignored 3 before it.
Like all the great Lego sequels of this last 2 years, they only count the first two.
Pretty much. Between this and Halloween, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, yes, okay. Yeah. So Terminator Dark Fate, that'll be happening next week. Mandy, the week after that. Thanks so much for listening, guys. And thanks for getting in the cage.